I'm going to sit this one out and have coffee.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
We have one item of old business this morning. Conditional use number 1705, the application of the Commonwealth Group to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for warehousing, mini storage, and contractor condominiums to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 74.04 acres, more or less, lying west of Park Avenue, also referred to as State Truck Route 9, south of the railroad, and 0.7 miles south of Route 9. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 14th of 2007. You have been provided with a copy of the report of the commission's record. On June 14th, the commission deferred action for further consideration and left the record open for 21 days to allow the Office of State Planning Coordination time to respond to the applicant's response to the original plus comments. July 18th, 2007, the commission discussed this application under old business. I read the response letter, date received July 17th of 2007, which was received from the Office of State Planning Coordination in reference to the applicant's responses to the plus comments. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1705 for the Commonwealth Group for a combination of up to four warehouses containing 316,850 square feet, up to 19 contractor condominiums containing 170,000 square feet, and up to six mini storage buildings containing up to 54,000 square feet based upon the record and for the following reasons. I would note that my report computer glitch got me and has renumbered some of my reasons. First one being, the proposed project is located in a development district according to the county's 2002 land use plan and within an investment level 2 area according to the 2004 state strategies for state policies and spending. Number two, the property is adjacent to the Sussex County Airport and will allow for the expansion of businesses currently at the airport and for other future businesses. Three, the proposed project is consistent with the economic development element of the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The project will promote Sussex County's economic and employment base while also promoting growth of the Sussex County Airport's industrial park. Four, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. And five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, due to the size of the project and the various proposed uses, the project is to be divided into at least four phases, subject to approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. For example, phase one might consist of the proposed warehouse number one, adjoining parking areas and entrance to the Sussex County Airport. Each phase shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Two, the applicant will construct a minimum 50-foot landscape buffer, which could include an earth berm and with mixed plantings to include trees with a minimum height of 5 feet, except where entrances are proposed through Delta. The landscape buffer will be required along the frontage of Truck Route 9 to screen the project from neighbors and Truck Route 9. The landscape buffer is to be provided within 1 year of the first building permit and shall be shown on the final site plan. Three, the project is to be served by public water and sewer. Four, stormwater management ponds should be designed as dry ponds to discourage nuisance waterfowl and per FAA and the county engineer's recommendations. Five, the issue of jurisdictional wetlands needs to be determined, especially on the southwestern corner adjacent to the airport in the vicinity of proposed warehouse one and its accompanying large parking lot. Six, any security lights shall only be installed on buildings and shall be so screened that they do not shine on any neighboring properties or Truck Route 9. Any lighting installed on the property shall comply with FAA regulations. 7, there shall be no outside storage of building materials or other construction materials except for the materials required for the proposed buildings. There shall be no outside storage of boats or RVs. 8, there shall be no filling or disturbance of any wetlands. A 50-foot minimum buffer is to be maintained from the edge of all wetlands. No structures or infrastructure are to be built within this buffer zone. 9, the traffic impact study is to be completed and submitted as part of the record before final approval of the project is requested. 10, the proposed contractor building number 4 shall be moved or relocated. Parking shall not back onto any entrance road drive off. 11, there shall be no more than one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet on each side. 12, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street and parking design requirements. 13, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. 14, it is suggested that for safer vehicle travel, improvement should be made to the intersection of Springfield Road and Truck Route 9 due to the potential impact on local traffic. 15, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these features. 16, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed buffer, including the proposed tree and shrub landscape design. 17, the developer shall preserve as much of the forest as possible to minimize the impact on the area. The 17.5 acres of forest preservation proposed by the developer shall be shown on the final site plan and placed in permanent conservation easement along with the wetlands. 18, the developer shall furnish a copy of the rare and threatened or endangered species study and report conducted by JCM Environmental to the Natural Heritage and Endangered Species Program and to further coordinate with DNREC as it pertains to rare and threatened or endangered species. 19, street names and addressing shall be approved by the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. 20, no site preparation, site disturbance, site excavation shall be commenced until all permits required by all other laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations shall have been issued and the approved final site plan is recorded. 21, no more than 4 warehouses totaling 316,850 square feet. 19 contractor condominiums totaling 170,000 square feet and 6 mini storage buildings totaling 54,000 square feet shall be constructed on the site. Any change in type or square footage of the building shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. 22, the location of the runway protection zone established by Sussex County shall be shown on the final site plan. 23, the applicant shall execute an airport nuisance and non-suit covenant in favor of Sussex County. And 24, the final site plan, including the above stipulations, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried 4-1 to forward this application to the County Council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. As stated, that motion carried 4-1. Mr. Smith opposed the motion. That's all I have.
On the first one, Lawrence, where it says, for example, and they gave this example of a warehouse being built in adjoining parking areas and entrance to Sussex County Airport.
Right.
Okay. Has the county agreed to an interconnection anywhere?
It's been shown in the public hearing process that there was a connection to this project through the county airport.
Okay, but wouldn't county council or somebody, David, or you yourself, or has anybody given any kind of agreement to this, David?
And Mr. Lang,
sir,
can you, for explanation, this was the findings that Planning and Zoning recommended to us.
That's right.
Since that time, Mr. Jones and I have sat down with Mr. Lang and gone through this, and I think we've addressed some of Mr. Cole's concerns and some of the other concerns. Can you pass out the our recommendation to the council, and if you'll go through those, I think that's going to show that we've addressed those concerns and added a couple of three others, I think, and we've changed a couple of them and see if council's in agreement to it.
Thanks, Larry.
Where are the changes in on this? What he just handed?
Okay,
you have to read it all again.
You want to read it all, Mr. Lank, or you want to just talk about the changes?
Well, it's the same thing, right, Dale, except for a few changes?
It is. You want to go through, Mr. Lank?
Number 2 has a change.
That's still the same.
Number 2 is the first one, I believe, Mr. Lank.
Right. As far under the conditions of approval, number
yes.
2 was altered. Or proposed to be altered, I'll put it that way. The applicant shall construct a minimum 50-foot landscape buffer, which could include an earth berm and with mixed plantings to include trees. Can I read the wrong one?
Here, you want to take my copy?
I got it. I've got
sure.
it. I had them on top of each other. 2, the applicant will construct a minimum 50-foot landscape buffer, which could include mixed plantings of trees with a minimum height of 8 feet rather than 5, except at the entrance as approved through Delta. The landscape buffer will be required along the frontage of Truck Route 9 to screen the project from nearby neighbors in Truck Route 9. The 50-foot landscape buffer is to be installed before the issuance of the first building permit and shall be shown on the final site plan. Trees could be staggered with a minimum of 4 rows of trees. There shall also be a 30-foot landscape buffer of trees with a minimum height of 8 feet along lands now or formerly of the Oaks of Georgetown LLC, with trees staggered with a minimum of 2 rows of trees.
We don't have a picture of that, do we, Heather? By any chance?
What it looks like?
But yeah, I mean, just so we can get a feel.
Yeah, I can show you.
Have your with you, Dale?
Yeah, I got
see
it.
If Lawrence could hold
I got,
it up.
I got it all.
Just kind of point out where we're talking about, or let Lawrence.
We're talking about. Here's Industrial Park Boulevard here. We're talking about a 50-foot buffer along here where the 4 rows of trees is set. And then this is Cornfield here. This is owned by the Oaks LLC. We're talking about a 30-foot buffer here and here. This is already woodland here. So we're saying you can leave it in this natural habitat as long as you leave 30 foot of trees. I mean, you don't have to plant it, but you got to leave at least 30 foot of trees down this line also. And they're going to have to plant it, I think, 30 foot there. That's what he's talking about there.
And 50-foot wide one across the front?
50-foot across the front with 4 rows of trees, and 30-foot here and 30-foot there.
Right. That's number 2. Okay.
The next item that was altered was condition number 4. Originally, it stated stormwater management ponds shall be designed as to discourage nuisance waterfowl and per FAA and the county engineer's recommendations.
I was showing, man.
No, it's fine.
That's cool. The thing changed rather than say ponds to facilities because some refer to them as dry ponds, it's really a pond, so we changed it to facilities.
That's a biggie. All right.
Number 2, I'd already read, that included a larger description of the condition.
13, 3, I think, is the next one, isn't it?
The next one is 13. 13 originally stated all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination.
We're moving it. We're taking doing away.
It is proposed to read 21. All entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. Council recommends to DLDOT that 1 combined entrance is preferable to what DLDOT had previously approved. The entrance should be located so as to establish a minimal impact on neighboring properties. It had 2 entrances originally rather than 1. And there were
in front of 2 houses. Okay.
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 The next one was...
21.
16.
Oh, 16?
The applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan...
That's right.
Showing the proposed buffering, including the proposed landscape design. Originally, we said trees and shrubs, but it's kind of redundant. So we took the trees and shrubs out.
All right.
Number 21 was the next change. Originally, 21 said no more than four warehouses totaling 316,850 square feet, 19 contractor condominiums totaling 170,000 square feet, and six mini storage buildings totaling 54,000 square feet shall be constructed on the site. Any change in type or square footage of the building shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The suggestion is that no more than four warehouses totaling 316,850 square feet and 19 contractor condominiums totaling 170,000 square feet shall be constructed on the site. Any change in the type or square footage of the building shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. We deleted and it's suggested to delete the six mini storage buildings totaling 54,000 square feet.
And what is the rationale for that, Mr. Dukes, eliminating that?
I think that they said the day of the hearing they weren't really sure of that, and they didn't know if there was a market. And we're questioning if they really are going to have room for all this anyhow when they get into later stormwater management.
Concerned about it's jamming too much on the site.
Yes.
Okay.
And then lastly, it was suggested that we add 25 through 27 over and above what the commission recommended. 25 meaning any improvements or upgrades on the extension to Baltimore Avenue to the Commonwealth Group property will be the responsibility of the applicant. 26, warehouse number one will have access to Baltimore Avenue only. Access for all other buildings will be through Park Avenue. A barrier or gate should be installed to prevent access for all buildings except warehouse number one. And 27, any amendment to these traffic conditions shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I think 26, Mr. Cole, addresses what you were where you were going about.
Well, no, I'm just wondering where, somewhere along the line, I mean, the county property, I don't know if we can just do this. There has to be some decision made by the county council to permit this. And I don't know if we can just by inserting it as a condition. Jim, is this enough to open up the county property to that just that one warehouse? And I'm just wondering if we're possibly eliminating the two that maybe having it, if it's in our interest to connect these two, why not allow any kind of traffic going out? Because then that would give them an emergency exits or something else. But to gate it off,
our rationale there, Mr. Cole, if you allow me to answer that, is we have a guardhouse on our one entrance there now.
Right.
So now you're going to open this up so we allow traffic to go straight through. And then when you go out to Park Avenue or just toward Boulevard, you don't have a guardhouse there. So anybody could come and go as they wanted to there.
All right, security.
From the warehouse condos. We thought that for security reasons, and I know Pat's probably more security conscious than what we are.
Well, what happens if the negotiations between Pat's, well, it seems like me that we're doing this just for Pat, and this one warehouse falls through?
Warehouse number one is just for Pat's.
But let's just say it doesn't. We're a couple years down the road, it changes hands.
Our conditions go with the property. It doesn't change with Pat's.
Right. Well, I'm just, okay, that's what I'm wondering. But the next user, we may not be so...
Obviously, he's going to have to come back to the county council for any change. Or it's
not if we open this up and it runs with the land. So if they sell that to somebody, say Pat's ends up not using it. I'm just saying, this you're all comfortable with whoever's using warehouse one to have that interconnection?
No, it's not. It's closed.
No, wait. Warehouse 1 will have access to Baltimore. We'll have that interconnection with their county.
He's saying if somebody else besides where...
Right, we're doing this just for Pat's. Should we specify Pat's only in this? And if it's somebody other than Pat's, it may be some other use that we're not comfortable with, or people in our industrial park may not like whatever kind of traffic it is. Who knows what it could be, but it's a big warehouse, and it could be attractive to somebody else that we're not so willing to work with, or it might impact our residents of our industrial park that they may not like whatever this traffic is doing. I'm just saying, you say it runs with the property, but I think we ought to maybe, can we run it with just Pat's?
Are you concerned about the traffic from the industrial park?
Well, warehouse one is out? All...
or just stopping here at the end of the warehouse?
No, what I'm concerned about is we're going out of our way just for warehouse one because it's going to be Pat's.
No.
You don't care who. I'm just saying there's no concern that whatever the use is in that warehouse one in the future, they're still going to have that interconnection with the county road system, right?
No. This is where we're talking about closing it off right across here.
He's saying if Pat's leaves one and Mr. Louie opens up Canton Inn in there,
who?
We don't want him.
I'm just saying, I don't know what it could be. It could be a guy who's running something else through there, Dale. But I'm just saying we're engineering number 26 because we think it's going to be Pat's. If the negotiations fall through, we've got this interconnection, and it could be somebody else. Should we specify just Pat's? Can we do that?
Well, I don't know that we should, Mr. Cole, because what we're trying to do is to relieve some of the traffic concerns of the neighbors.
That could be one of the good rationales for it.
Right.
I'm just wondering.
So regardless of what goes in the warehouse one, today we want to give the assurances to the folks who live on Industrial Boulevard. They'll never be burdened by the traffic of
But they can still
one.
Go either way, right, Dale? The warehouse one only
warehouse one's going to come out Baltimore Avenue and go out our existing
that's gate. The only way
that's,
Baltimore,
the, way.
That's the only
yes.
way they can't go through
no.
right.
this new entrance
no
right.
Everybody in the warehouse complex here will come out to a single entrance here.
Yeah, this is designed to relieve the burden on Industrial Boulevard, and we're going to have to just hope, I guess, that an unsavory use of warehouse one does not come in there.
Well, my question is, can we specify it be Pat's? Then they would have to come in and get some kind of approval.
I think I'd rather give the assurance to the folks that they're not going to have to be burdened by warehouse one in perpetuity.
And then, Jim, the only other question would be, what... Can this conditional use open up this access of County Industrial Park without some kind of special extra vote or something to make this interconnection?
Condition.
I think the county, if it should approve this with these conditions, is implicitly consenting to it.
Okay, I was just saying, is that going to be taken up? I mean, it's nothing we have to ask the other users of our park. Is there any kind of things in their leases that this could affect them? They say, hey, wait a minute, we don't want this. You know, this traffic's a negative or something.
It doesn't affect their access.
Okay. I'm just curious.
But with regard to number 25, I had a question there. Mm-hmm. It said in the last line, it says, upgrades and improvements to extension of Baltimore Avenue will be the responsibility of the applicant.
Right.
It would probably be a little clearer if it went ahead to say will be the responsibility and at the sole cost of the applicant. And I don't know whether you wish to give them a time period for making those upgrades.
But let me ask you while you're on that, who's the one that determines what improvements and upgrades are needed?
Yeah, that was my question.
Subject to the county.
That was certainly thing we have.
I mean, that ought to be in there too. Clarify that.
You probably want to make it subject to whatever road specifications the county already has in existence.
Well, like on 13 and 14, it says that multimodal improvements required by Delta shall be completed. It don't say when or when they start. And on 14, it says suggested safer vehicle traffic improvements shall be made to at the intersection of Springfield Road and Truck Route 9. And up in the front part of it, you say, you know, things will get started in a phase, but shouldn't some of these improvements, these intersections, be made before they drop the balloon in on construction?
And then also the word suggested doesn't sound real strong.
Well, you can't. Can you force? I mean, we've gone through this before as far as, I mean, I certainly would love to see it. I think the people would, too, all the way out. But we can suggest. That's all we can do with Delta.
Well, has anybody suggested anything at this point? What would make safer vehicular traffic and improvements? I mean, is there any suggestions on the table that we even have discussed? So I don't know. I'm a little concerned that it's so vague that it's something we can't enforce.
Well,
somebody up in DelDOT says, they don't need anything.
Well, I mean, if you think that we could write something down that would be that would force DelDOT to do that, then it would be great. But I don't see how, you know. We can make suggestions, and I think that's all we've done.
It's actually stating, Finley, it says it is suggested
it
that
is, yeah.
giving the impression that there has been some suggestion somewhere in our testimony. Is there any suggestions of improvements in any of the testimony that we heard? Or any documentation? That's what I'm saying. There's no linkage here with anything to be done. So the people are going to come back in a couple years and say, hey, what about doing this? And we'll just, sorry, it was just suggested. I mean, I think it might be need to be tighter. I don't know, Mr. Rogers is shaking his head in agreement. I don't know if I'm...
Well, sure, I mean, you know, write it out then.
Well, 13 and 14 just says that...
Well, you're shifting gear.
It's going to be done, but it don't say when it starts or if it starts.
Well, that should have actually been probably a portion of 13, and it's only a suggestion. Approval. Should have been as an extension of 13, because you're always saying the entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvement shall be up to the Del Dot, basically.
Well, that says but shall be required, which is a good word.
But then you go back to number 9, so the traffic impact study is to be completed and submitted as part of the record before final approval of the project is requested. When that final traffic impact study is completed, Del Dot can then determine what improvements have to be made, whether it be Springfield Road and State Route 9, or whether it be Route 9 and
well,
Park
four,
Avenue.
14 ought to reflect then and make some linkage with this traffic impact study and say that any recommendations of that traffic impact study will be required for safer vehicular traffic and improvements. Just the word suggested
it
doesn't mean a thing.
It would be if so determined by the traffic impact study, because we can't really tell Delta that they have to make improvements. They're going to make that determination.
But the traffic impact study will be done by the developer with
Delta's review and approval.
Right.
You could just change the word shall be made to shall be required, and you're telling them what you're asking them to do, but it's really up to Del Dot.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to give Vance brought up that we're trying to accommodate the people who live in that area, and we're trying to put some safeguards in. We need to tighten this up if you're going to do it.
Yeah, the Del Dot thing should be done when they get the TIS done and all that done, really for the benefit of the residents, be done before they start construction.
And one more point on number 26.
Let's finish up before we go back. Let's handle what we're talking about, 13 and 14. Let's see what we're going to do and keep on this and modify it. And Jim, your suggestion was on 14?
It says be made, make it read be required.
It is to be required that number 9, the traffic impact study, will determine improvements would be needed for vehicular traffic, traffic or something?
I don't think you have to tie. It's going to happen anyway if they do a TIS, that TIS is going to determine what they make them do.
But you should reference that, maybe.
In 14, you're suggesting 14. That... improvements shall be required to that intersection
based on Del Dot's recommendations, because there's nothing in there that says Del Dot in that number 14, I guess. The Del Dot issues ought to all be together somehow.
Make them do their road improvements. How do you enforce it? You don't get building permits.
Right.
Jim, are you working on language?
Yes.
Well, I guess you could do it this way, number 14. You could say for safer vehicular travel, Del Dot should require that improvements be made to the intersection of Springfield Road and Truck Route 9 due to the potential impact on local traffic. Would that work?
Well, there's an issue of should versus shall. Right. Should we put shall there?
Right.
It's not going to make a difference because Del Dot's going to be the sole party determining.
Well, I know, but they'll understand our intent when they read our conditions.
You could then say shall if you wanted to do that.
I would think shall
wouldn't be binding on them, but...
Right. But shall's a stronger word.
Read that again.
For safer vehicular travel, Del Dot shall require that improvements be made to the intersection and continue with the rest of it.
Have we ever required DelDOT to do anything?
That's going to be a...
We have suggested this several times. Yeah.
If you got the money, I'll do it.
You're putting language in there that almost seems...
The improvements we're talking about, Mr. Phillips, are going to be the financial burden of the developer,
right,
not of DelDOT.
Right.
So, yes, we can require the developer to do certain things if they want to develop in our county.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? Did I talk slow enough for you?
No, you're talking about requiring DelDOT to do something.
No,
and we don't have the authority to create the language he just used.
All right.
Did he talk slow enough for you?
All right. We're.
I'm just trying to get. I'm waiting until somebody says something. It's right now.
We're starting to go in circles. I'm not sure I know where you are.
You better defer on it and come back next week.
No, we're not going to defer, Mr. Cole. We're voting today. Mr. Griffin, would you read 14 again?
For safer vehicular travel, DelDOT shall require that improvements be made to the intersection of Springfield Road and Truck Route 9 due to the potential impact on local traffic.
But when?
Well, okay. When DelDOT requires it, they tell them when, don't they?
It's contracted with through DelDOT. The way they post their bond guaranteeing it.
That's fine.
But I mean, if you got a plan.
It could be a year or 2 years down the road, I don't know.
Everyone's but it depends on the residents. Would construction start before the road improvements are made, then all this stuff's coming in one time?
No, I disagree.
It's the old idea of whether you want the infrastructure in before development or...
It's up to DelDOT.
At DelDOT, their contractors.
Part we can require a timetable for road construction is the extension for on our property for Warehouse 1.
No, you don't think, Jim, we could require that all improvements suggested by... recommended by DelDOT be in place before construction starts? You're saying we can't do that?
Any improvements DelDOT requires are going to be done on DelDOT's timetable, not yours.
Unless
you can make a suggestion.
Unless we require it.
It's done on the...
Anything you require DelDOT to do is a suggestion. It's not going to be binding on them. I mean, it's telling them what you think, but ultimately, they're going to do what they think the traffic impact study requires.
Well, the only thing you can suggest is that improvements done before the certificate of occupancy is issued by the county. I mean, and it could be a suggestion, but we could put it in.
We can require the improvements to be, whatever DelDOT recommends, we can require those improvements to be made prior to construction of the warehouses.
And the developer's pushing DelDOT. We don't have to push DelDOT.
Right. We can require that.
That's why I just said.
If you want to do it.
If you want to do it, I am in favor of the CO, but they allow them to get the building permit. But before that building opens, they will have to, because the first building, if that's the one, they have to do the improvements on the road.
Are you recommending that?
Yes.
Did you hear that, Jen? Is there a consensus that we support all DelDOT requirements to be in place before the first? You said CO?
CO.
Certificate of occupancy?
Well, that, on the end, what you could just add on the end, where it says due to the potential impact on local traffic, you could put prior to the occupancy of the first building.
Is that the same as the issuance of the first CO?
They have to have a CO to occupy.
Right.
I said the first building because I don't know. They may not build Warehouse 1 first.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yep.
Is there a consensus?
Yeah, Mr. Jones is up
getting better.
And we got a problem with that? Add it, Mr. Griffin. Let's go.
Yeah, but Mr. Lang?
Yes, prior to the occupancy of the first building.
Which one are you talking about next?
Any more questions or not?
And you did, Jim. You said about 26 you were going to start on, and somebody interrupted you. You were
well, 25. What I was thinking would be a better wording of that is that any improvements or upgrades on the extension of Baltimore Avenue into the Commonwealth Group property will be made at the responsibility and at the sole cost of the applicant and shall be completed prior to the issuance of a certificate of occupancy for Warehouse 1.
But those improvements and upgrades, would they be the, because they are our private road system, would they be determined by our county engineering department by any chance? Why don't we put it in there, as determined by the county engineering department? Pardon?
Yeah,
that's the engineering department.
That's easy to add. On the first line, after improvements, any improvements or upgrades, as determined by the county engineering department on the extension.
Yeah, that'd be better. Yeah, I think we need to have somebody decide who's doing the determining, not the
engineering department usually does determine.
Usually, but if you don't put it in here, it doesn't specify it, Mr. Jones. You've got to put it in here.
I'm sure there are that Jim Higgins is not going to let them put down a substandard.
Hold on. You better read it in because I was trying to keep up with you.
I'm gonna go through it. I'm gonna read this one more time so Mr. Lang can get it. Any improvements or upgrades, as determined by the county engineering department, on the extension to Baltimore Avenue into the Commonwealth Group property will be the responsibility and at the sole cost of the applicant and shall be completed prior to the issuance of a certificate of occupancy for Warehouse 1.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. The question I had on the next one, number 26, says a barrier or gate should be installed. Should that be shall? Because should will. Wouldn't require them to do it.
Will be.
I would think so.
Yep.
Will be. You said 26?
Yeah. 26, yeah. The word should, third line.
I think we ought to get rid of the word should.
Yeah, maybe we'll strike it and put shall.
Those are the questions I have.
Vance's favorite word.
Okay,
should.
Anything else?
I got just a couple other things, Mr.
Jones.
They also, if you look at some of the stipulation that they, in the testimony, the developer said that he would provide landscaping or buffers on the neighbor's property. I don't think we should. I think if we should add number 28 and say that if the neighbors would like it, that the developer should be required, which not forcing them to do it, but if the neighbors. And if you look at the paperwork, you're talking about the Wilsons, the Rogers, I think the Moses and the Adams family, which is the four that, or Jason from that.
Wouldn't it have to be agreed by both parties? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if later on the entranceway and they feel like they should need it, that they should be allowed to get it at that point.
Why don't you just say any landscaping done on private property would be have to be agreed to by both parties or something?
I don't think he's proposing to put the landscaping on other people's property.
Yes, I am.
Are you?
Yes.
Yes, he is. He's suggesting that.
Yeah. I thought he was putting it on the Commonwealth property.
No, that's difficult. We already got that taken care of in one and two, I think.
That's difficult for us to enforce something like that unless both parties agree to it.
That's why I'm suggesting that at least give the neighborhood the ability to ask for it if they... So choose so.
Of course, they have the ability to just.
Okay.
And then number 29 would be about the maintenance of the buffer, that it should be maintained because I think they're going to have a condo association or a homeowners association that it would be either. and I think it's usually a couple years the developer takes care of it, Lawrence, and then whatever that, or after the first.
Typically on a subdivision, it's a few years before the properties. They usually have a percentage of development that takes place before it is transferred over to the HOA. But on a commercial, we haven't had to deal with that very often.
Right. How are they going to have an HOA for like a warehouse?
I'll just say an HOA, but they're doing condominiums. Supposedly do condominium type sales of the units.
But there'll be some kind of management company or something going on.
Now, I think there should be some coming there to make sure that if something dies in the buffer or, you know, in that area, that it should be.
That doesn't include that private property. The landscaping they put on private property will just be put on once, and then there's no maintenance by that group.
I'm talking about the buffer.
That they own on their property.
Correct.
On Commonwealth's property, they will be maintained. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm talking about basically the buffer zone, the common area.
All right, so are we adding 28? If the neighbors want a buffer, they can ask Commonwealth and they'll provide it.
Right.
And 29 is maintenance of the buffer for 2 years on Commonwealth property. Any others?
Wait, the maintenance on the the maintenance of Dale of the buffer on Commonwealth property ought to be continuous, always. It doesn't just go
unless
for
it
2 years.
Over to the home to the owners association or condo association.
I could read something on that.
Okay.
29. The applicant and or an owners association shall be required to provide perpetual maintenance. Yeah. Of all the landscape buffer areas installed on the applicant's property.
That sounds good.
And on number 28, are you speaking of four specific families?
I wouldn't want somebody, because if you, I don't know if you word it on Route 9 or something, like somebody a mile down the road could say, yeah, we'll take a little land. I mean,
couldn't it say that if those specific families request and agree to it, name the family so there wouldn't be any doubt about which properties you were intending to benefit?
Right.
Would that work?
That'd be fine. Just because there's like four or five houses there that could have an impact.
They're, you want to name them?
Wilson, Rogers, Adams,
Moses, I believe.
Yeah, Moses, right.
Moses, Wilson, Adams, and Rogers.
Okay. If the Wilson, Rogers, Adams, and Moses families request it and agree to it, the applicant shall install landscaping on their property to lessen the impact of, is this where an entrance goes in?
Could possibly, yeah.
Or is it going to? Is this going to depend on where that entrance is established, or
no?
No.
Could we don't? No.
No. This entrance should be almost in the middle of a field.
Would this buffer be on the back of their properties?
Be on the front.
Be on the front side.
Be on the front of Industrial Park Boulevard.
Okay.
Okay. Have we got it all together?
I'm not sure about 28. What do you want the applicant to do there?
I'm trying to say that if once that entranceway is put in and it has an impact, if it does possibly have an impact, that the neighborhood could request a buffer put in on their property to the lights and those kind of issues, whether it's the side of the house or the front of the house, or those have that right to be able to do that once the entranceway is put in. That's the purpose.
If requested, the developer has to do it. Correct. It's going to be required.
Yes.
If requested by those residents that we've named.
Yes.
How wide would it be?
Would it be a 30-foot buffer, like as defined in our buffer ordinance?
You should be specific about what the.
Yeah, you got it. You got to tell them
whether it's going to be 10 feet or.
I'm not going to sit here and tell the people in that neighborhood that you got to have a 10-foot buffer. I think they're certainly intelligent enough out there to be able to.
No, but the applicant would need to know. If the applicant goes in and puts one tree, he might say, "I did it." You know, I mean, you know, if you want a 5-foot. Band of plantings or 10 foot, and this would be only if the people ask for it.
I understand that.
Or you could put up to 10 feet or up to 20 feet or.
I guess we, if you're saying that we have to put a footage in there, but I just can't imagine that either party, whether it be the residents or.
Why don't you say 30 feet or less as defined in our buffer ordinance, as agreed to by both parties?
We don't have that buffer ordinance yet.
That's right. And it might be, and one guy might say 30, one guy might say 10, so there's no uniformity. I don't know. It's difficult to go on private property and do that.
Right.
I just didn't want this to be another situation like.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Is there a buffer already on the applicant's side of that property line, abutting these properties?
That's a road.
No.
That's a road.
All these properties are
across the street. Avenue. What we're talking about are the ones across the street.
I would say 30 feet.
Put it down 30 feet, and then they can determine. You know,
not to exceed.
Not to exceed, and they can, you know, I don't think either side will shortchange each other. I just don't want them to be stuck with something.
Want me to try to read that again?
Come out. I lost you a long time ago.
If the Wilson.
Wait a minute, Mr. Lang.
You're writing? If the Wilson, Rogers, Adams, and Moses families request it and agree to it, the applicant shall install up to 30 feet of landscaping along the Park Avenue right-of-way of those properties.
Okay, that's what he said.
Landscaping is undefined.
Well, they'd have to, the people have got to agree to it, so.
Marigolds.
And you couldn't really refer to the present buffer ordinance because it's only on agricultural lands.
Right.
Where lots are adjacent.
I don't think they want tree. I wouldn't expect they'd want trees in their front yard. I don't think, but.
What I heard there was it's the Wilson, Rogers, Adams, Moses families request and agree to it. The applicant shall install up to 30 foot of landscaping along the right of way of Park Avenue.
Mr. Lank, do you have all these written down?
Just barely. I didn't get number 29.
All right, could you read 25, 26, 27?
29, you want me to read?
Yeah, 29, I didn't get it all. You were too quick on me.
The applicant and / or owner's association be required
we added
to provide perpetual maintenance.
That's right, Lawson. To provide
all the landscape buffers installed on the applicant's property.
If you've got them all, Mr. Lang, would you read 25 through 29, please?
We'll try. Jim might have to correct me. 25. Any improvements or upgrades as determined by County Engineering Department on the extension to Baltimore Avenue and to the Commonwealth Creek property will be the responsibility of and at the sole cost of the applicant and shall be completed prior to the certificate of occupancy for warehouse number one.
Okay. 26.
26. Warehouse number one will have access to Baltimore Avenue only. Access for all other buildings will be through Park Avenue. A barrier or gate shall be installed to prevent access to all buildings except warehouse number one.
27.
27. Any amendment to these traffic conditions shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
28.
28. If the Wilson, Rogers, Adams, or Moses families request and agree to it, the applicant shall install up to 30 feet of landscaping along the right-of-way of Park Avenue. 29. The applicant and or owner's association shall be required to provide perpetual maintenance of all landscaping buffers on the applicant's property. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mr. Baker, can you would you mind getting those two back in there? We need them.
Sure.
We need them to vote.
So we made amendments to number 14.
Correct.
Well, we made, well, the original, different from the commission, what we discussed, there were amendments to?
Two.
Number two.
Number
eight
two.
Feet, 8 feet instead of five, and describing what the buffer should be.
And number 13.
Right.
Number 16.
14 also.
14.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss it? Okay, I didn't see that. 14, 16, where we deleted two words,
right.
Shrub and tree.
21.
25, 26, 28, 29.
Right.
Okay. Everybody comfortable?
Yes.
Then read the title, Mr. Griffin.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for warehousing mini storage and contractor condominiums to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100 Suffolk County containing 74.04 acres more or less.
In motion, gentlemen.
For the record, I'll make the motion for conditional use 1705 for a vote for the Commonwealth Group as presented with the 29 conditions. And what else do I need to say with that, Mr. Griffith?
That's it.
That's it.
I think that's it.
Okay. I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, second Mr. Phillips, to approve conditional use 1705 with the 29 conditions, which have been amended and have been read and Mr. Lank's got copies of them, and everybody should know exactly what the 29 are. Other questions? Mr. Cole.
It seems like it has gotten better. I guess going from two entrances and exits to one. I would have liked to seen it all go through the county's park, and I'm still, you know, thinking that there maybe was a way we could have, you know, done that and routed all the traffic through our industrial park, which has a controlled entrance already existing. But then that would have taken a lot of, I guess, decision making between the county and the developer and different things. I read this. I there is a lot of complaints. I guess the buffers seem to have some positive points to that. There are a reduction in the size of the place and the number of uses, I guess, on there. It does abut, I guess, the industrial park and the sports at the beach. And I guess I'm a little reluctant to do it, but I guess I'm going to vote for it to support the rezoning with these changes.
So your vote is yes?
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
Phillips.
Good land use planning suggests that we use contiguous land to existing industrial use for that type of expansion of use. I think that we've gone a long way toward helping the folks on Park Avenue by cordoning off Warehouse 1 from the use of Park Avenue. I think based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning with the modifications we made here today and the 29 stipulations, we've done about everything we can for the folks out there. I vote yes.
Mr. Rogers.
The residents of this area's concerns have been taken very, very serious, and with that, this application, the face of it has changed many ways. One thing that I don't believe we've ever done is had 29 conditions on a situation such as this. It's nearly double of what normally conditions have. The going from the two entrances to one, the buffers increasing, and it's unheard of to have buffers on private property, which is part of this application. The traffic concerns that I had in 13 and 14 were addressed by legal counsel to make sure that the public safety is taken in consideration up front, that the CO for the first building would not be granted until the traffic improvements are made. And with the based on the record and recommendations and the 29 conditions, I support the application with that. But yes.
Mr. Jones?
We certainly as a neighborhood, well, no, I've tried to meet with the three or four groups out there. We've listened to your concerns. I don't think any application is going to make everybody happy. I think I certainly feel that Mr. Dukes and I, we've tried to meet all your concerns. I hope they will meet most of your concerns. My vote is yes with the 29 conditions.
Mr. Rogers alluded to 29 conditions. Never remember that happening before. On a 350-acre borrow pit, we only put 17 conditions on it. So you can see we've loaded this thing down, I think, only because we've listened to the concerns of the neighborhood. It's not everything you wanted, but it's a lot more than what you had to begin with. And I think that with the 29 conditions, I think that it will hopefully be a good neighbor, and I hope that you all are. But with that, with the 29 conditions, and I agree with the other council members and their reasons that they so stated, motions passed.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you.